The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, game two of the NBA Finals was an ass kicking by the Golden State Warriors. They got right back on track in this one, and they ended up winning 107-88. The first half, it was actually pretty close. It was kind of back and forth a little bit. Actually, Steph Curry, Jason Tatum were basically just trading shot after shot and really carrying each team along the way, and so it looked like it was actually going to be a pretty good game, but then Golden State just started running away with it in the third quarter. And especially Jordan Poole. Man, Jordan Poole, he was the key to last night. Actually, Draymond Green, he also had a great game too. Now, he didn't have a great game points-wise, but man, in the paint, he was pissing people off and getting in their faces. So he had a great game. Jordan Poole, he could not miss any shot he was shooting last night. He even made this huge one at the end of the third quarter where it was near half court. He just drained it too. It just swished right in there. And it was just, that's how on he was last night, was that even those shots were dropping. And at first you're like, was that Steph Curry? But even Steph Curry's like, nah, that was Jordan Poole, homies. So Golden State is back on track. You know, Jason Tatum, he actually had a good first half, but then he kind of started to fade away in the second half. And the Celtics really, they could not get it going in the second half. It kind of looked like they were going to make a little bit of a run. But then all of a sudden just, you know, Golden State just would not give it back to him. And they just kept pushing. They kept driving. Klay Thompson did not have that good of a game either. He was missing everything. But, you know, overall, I expected the Golden State to get that win. Game three is on Wednesday night in Boston, so we'll see how that one goes. It is the home opener for Boston, but, you know, Boston actually hasn't been that great at home during the postseason, so we'll see what happens in that one. Honestly, I think Golden State, they've got a good chance at winning game three, just because they really should have won game one. It was just, they just started to let it go, and they had that bad fourth quarter and just gave it away. So we'll see what happens game three Wednesday night in the NBA Finals. But so far, we are tied up at one with Boston getting a win and Golden State getting a win. And in other NBA news, Quinn Snyder, the coach of the Utah Jazz, he just resigned yesterday. It's looking like, man, the Jazz, they were once a promising team, and now it looks like they're just going to be blown up this offseason. I mean, we all know that something's going to happen. Either they're going to trade Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. Who knows which way they're going. But regardless, one of those guys is going. And then now Quinn Snyder, he's been their coach, I think, for 8 years now. And he just resigns. And it's not like he was a horrible coach or anything. So he's going to be difficult to replace. But he basically believes that the Utah Jazz just need another voice, and that's not really shocking just because they haven't done anything. They've been a very good, solid regular season team, but postseason comes around and they're usually not a competitive team. They usually are a one-and-done type team when it comes to the postseason. So we'll see what they do with the rest of their offseason, but it was very interesting to see Quinn Snyder resign yesterday because that came out of nowhere. All right, and then moving on to my top 10 MLB power rankings. Started off with number one, the New York Yankees, up in the top spot. They're 39-15 overall in the season. They just had a spectacular week. They're on a six-game winning streak right now and 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Detroit Tigers and the Los Angeles Angels, and they swept both of them. And they just have been having, they are just so hard to stop offensively, defensively, and their pitching has just been solid. I mean, Nestor Cortez, he has been such a huge, like, you would think that Cole was going to be the dominant pitcher for them. And it turns out Nestor Cortez, he's leading the league in ERA right now. I believe his ERA is a 150. It could be lower than that. I didn't write it down, but I know he's leading the league in ERA this week, and he's just been so solid and hasn't had. I think he's only had like one bad game this year. Other than that, he's just been spectacular, along with the rest of the pitching staff. I mean, you really got to give it up to the Yankees so far. This pitching staff, I really did not think they were going to be good at all, and they've really overachieved, and the Yankees are just blowing by everybody. Aaron Judge still leads the league in home runs with 21. He still continues his reign of terror. Josh Donaldson actually had a couple good games this week, too. He had the game-winning hit yesterday. And then Torres, he's had another great couple of weeks as well. So the Yankees are just smashing through baseball this season. Then number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the New York Mets. Their crosstown rivals. They are 37-19 overall in the season, 8-2 in their last 10 games on a two-game winning streak. This past week, they played the Dodgers and the Nationals, and they took it to the Dodgers. That was an excellent series to watch. It was split. They played four games, both won two. But, man, the Mets, it was actually very back and forth. All the way, each game, it was just crazy. But both teams are for real. And when the Mets can keep up like that, it's great to see that the Mets are actually overcoming any injuries. Pete Alonso, he's back. He's got 16 home runs. He's in second behind Aaron Judge right now in home runs. Starling Marte, he had a great game yesterday. And it's just the Mets are just an all-around good team. Like I said, offensively, they're playing great, but the pitching has been solid and the defense has been great as well. So the Mets, both New York teams are just killing it right now. Then the Houston Astros are number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Their overall record is 35-19, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they just played the Kansas City Royals and the Oakland A's. So two trash can teams, basically the bottom of the barrel teams right there. I believe Kansas City's in currently the last place team, and Oakland's not too far behind. But still, you can't hold that against the Astros. And they've just been having a great season as well. You know, Justin Verlander, he's continuing his domination. But it's crazy because every week when I'm looking at the Astros, there's always a different guy carrying them when it comes to offense. And this week it was Yordan Alvarez. He was just given a huge contract extension. And he's paying off so far this week because basically every game he had a solid game and he had some game winners. He had a great week. But then also Kyle Tucker. He's a very underrated player on their team because I don't think a lot of people talk about him, but that guy's been having a solid-ass season as well. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. Overall record of 31-22, 8-2 in their last 10. This week they just played the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. Their starting pitching just continues to dominate. Kevin Gausman, he's continuing on from the great season he had last year with the San Francisco Giants, and he's moved on to Toronto, and he's killing it this year. And then George Springer, he had a great week as well. And the Blue Jays are just another all-around great team where they're dominating with the pitching. Their offense is getting scores. And then also defensively, they're just playing great baseball currently. Then number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is yet to make my power rankings this season, that would be the Atlanta Braves. They finally have turned their season around. They started off real cold. Currently, their record is 28-27. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, but they're on a five-game winning streak right now. And I think the big deal here is, first of all, this week they played the Rockies and the Arizona Diamondbacks, so not really good teams, but that's what you got to do to get some wins under your belt. But I think what's going on with the Braves is they're finally getting healthier. You know, they got Acuna back, and he needed some time to acclimate because he did miss the whole second half of last year. Coming off of that ACL injury. And so now he's back. He seems to be getting better each and every week. And so that's helping the offense. But their starting pitching is finally getting together as well. So the Braves are at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings. At number six are the San Diego Padres. Their overall record is 33-21. This week they went 5-5, so nothing crazy, but they are on a three-game winning streak. This week they played the Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals, two solid teams. But Musgrove, he is just continuing to dominate the season pitching. He almost had a no-hitter, I believe, that he carried it into the eighth inning. I believe like Thursday, Friday was earlier in the week. So he's had a great season. Jake Cronenworth, he's had a good season, but he was the dude last week. Manny Machado, he's got 333 batting average right now, and he's just continuing to rake it in. So the Padres are at number six. And at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the St. Louis Cardinals, 32-23 overall record, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're currently on a two-game winning streak. This week they played the Chicago Cubs and the San Diego Padres. Adam Wainwright, man, this guy, he's another old dude who's just still continuing to dominate when he's not injured. And he's just had a great season so far, and he had a great week. And Paul Goldschmidt, God, this guy, he just can't be stopped. He's batting a .343 average right now. And finally, his hitting streak was broken a couple days ago. But he's just having a phenomenal season. And overall, the Cardinals, they're just a team of a lot of solid players just playing their role and just playing great baseball and getting the job done. Then at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Boston Red Sox. Their current record is 27-27, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They're currently on a four-game winning streak. This week, they played the Oakland A's and the Cincinnati Reds, so bottom-of-the-barrel teams. But Devers, man, he's had a great season. He's batting a .341 right now. And he had a great week. He just carried them offensively, as well as J.D. Martinez. And then Pivetta, he had a solid outing a couple days ago as well. So I've got the Red Sox. They're still surging right now at this point in the season. Then at number nine on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another new team, and I didn't really think this team was going to make it, but they sure did, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that's really just because they did have a great week, and we'll get to that here in a second. But their overall record is 24-28. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they're on a two-game winning streak. This past week, they just played the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, one thing about the Dodgers is they swept the Dodgers this week when they played them. So they took two of three from Arizona as well. So they're just on a solid winning streak right now. But when you sweep the Dodgers, and they didn't just beat them, like they kicked their ass. I was enjoying every second of it. I mean, I didn't really watch any of the games, but when I would see the highlights in the morning or the scores even, I'm like, damn. Dodgers are getting beat the fuck up by the Pirates. That's just awesome. So the Pirates, they cracked my top 10 MLB power rankings this week. And rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings, taking a huge nosedive this week would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 35-19. The reason why they took a huge nosedive is just because this week they did play the Pittsburgh Pirates and the New York Mets. Like I just said, they got swept by the Pirates. And the Mets earlier, I told you, they took it to them. They split that series. So right now, the Dodgers are 5-5 in their last 10 games and on a two-game losing streak. And they took a tumble, but they're still playing great baseball. I mean, Trey Turner, he had a great week. Mookie Betts is second in the league with home runs and with 16 home runs. And their pitcher, starting pitcher, Anderson, he's got 7 wins right now, and that leads the league. And who would have thought that he, out of all of the pitchers that the Dodgers have, that's the guy who's leading with their 7 wins right now. So that is my top 10 this week. Right now, currently, a couple other things that happened in baseball this week. The Los Angeles Angels, they are on an 11-game losing streak right now. Like, they are just getting smashed. And not only that, but Mike Trout, he is hitting, I didn't write it down, but I'm pretty sure I heard this morning he is 0-26 in this 11-game losing streak. So obviously he is a huge part of why they win. And an 11-game losing streak, that's the longest losing streak of the season so far. The Angels really need to turn that shit around. You'll notice my Giants still not in the top 10 this week. And I did want to actually point something out. I've noticed that basically since Gabe Kapler made his amazing announcement about his stupid protest over the national anthem and whatever he's protesting, because like I said at the time, he didn't specify, just the direction of the country. That could mean anything, retard, but I digress. The Giants haven't been playing well since he made that stupid announcement. So, hey, Gabe, maybe instead of stupid-ass protests, you might want to actually start managing your motherfucking team, because I'd much rather see you win a World Series than go on some political tirades, because if you want to join politics, you can go ahead and do that, but don't be the manager of the San Francisco Giants at the same time. So maybe you should get back to baseball, and maybe we'd be a better team. And now I've started a new segment today, even though I'm pretty sure I've been doing this for a while, but I created an actual name for it. And it's called Retarded Hysteria of the Day. And basically, there's two stories that I read over the weekend that I just found so fucking stupid and ridiculous. And I just am like, oh my God, is this what we're making big deals out of over? And of course we are. And so that's what goes under the retarded hysteria of the day. By the way, yes, I know that's upsetting to people using the word retarded, but guess what? I don't give a flying fuck. I use it as a pejorative all the time, and I'm using it ironically in this way because, you know what? America's full of retards, and maybe if you guys didn't act so retarded, I wouldn't have to call you retarded. So suck my motherfucking dick if you have a problem. You can hit the stop button anytime. Nobody's forcing you to listen to my shit. I answer to no one, so suck it. So first story in retarded hysteria of the day is, and it's just gaining steam today too. It's been going on the last couple of days, but it's growing even more and more over no fucking reason. I really wasn't even going to bring it up until I saw that like every stupid news reporting outlet is throwing a fucking temper tantrum over this. But, the Tampa Bay Rays, over the weekend, they did their pride gear, 'cause it's Gay Pride Month. All the teams in baseball, at least, do have like a pride day or a pride week or pride weekend. And usually what they'll do is they'll give you a hat and your logo will be like in the rainbow colors or whatever. And so this weekend, Tampa Bay Rays did that with their hats. And then also there was this, stupid little patch, that had rainbow colors signifying it. Now, all sports teams do this all the time, not just with pride, but they do it with, like, autism awareness and breast cancer awareness and awareness of awareness and of a fucking goddamn awareness. I give zero fucks about any of this shit, so, this is why this is under retarded hysteria of the day. But basically, a few of the Tampa Bay Rays players, because this is not required, by the way, you're not required to do this, you're actually given the choice, which, oh my God, the horror of giving people choices in this world. I know that's real difficult for most of you stupid idiots, especially over the last couple of years with COVID. But the Tampa Bay Rays told their players, you don't have to wear it. If you want to decline to wear the rainbow shit, you don't have to wear the fucking rainbow shit. So a few of the players declined to do it, and very few, I think only like five. And of course, everybody's taking this as a homophobic move. These guys just hate the gays is basically what they're all saying. And it's just like so fucking ridiculous to me because guess what? I have no issues with gay people. And I also have no issues with people doing Pride Month and all this shit. But I do have an issue with you forcing your bullshit on people. And just so y'all know, I don't wear rainbows. I don't wear rainbows to signify pride for gays. I don't wear rainbows, period, because I fucking hate rainbows. I don't hate rainbows like in the sky. Cool, I look at them and go, yippee-dippee-doo. But I don't fucking wear rainbow-colored shit. So if I'm in this position, my ass is declining it for no other reason than I don't fucking wear rainbows. I don't wear fucking pink for Cancer Month. If my boss at work was like, hey, Katie, we're going to wear rainbows this month for Pride Month, I would look him in the face and say, go fuck yourself. I'm not wearing a goddamn rainbow. That's exactly why my boss would never ask me to do such a thing. But I'm just saying, if there's anybody in the world who's ever going to ask me to do any of this shit, for example, I'm going to be performing this weekend at a festival. And if the guy putting on the festival this weekend told me, hey, Katie, we're going to wear rainbow colors for Pride Month, I'd tell him to go fuck himself. And I would not wear rainbow colors. And I wouldn't give two shits in a fuck if people were upset about it. Because you know why? You idiots don't tell me what to wear. And I know we have to turn every motherfucking thing into some goddamn political crisis and, oh my God, this, that, and the other. These motherfuckers just didn't want to wear goddamn rainbows. And yes, some of them had religious reasons to do so, but you know what? They didn't say we hate gay people. We didn't say you don't deserve equality. They didn't say they were even against the rest of the team wearing rainbows. They just said they weren't doing it. And you know what? That's their goddamn motherfucking right. That's what I hate about this stupid fucking society, is that one side wants to be accepted and they want all of us to be accepted and we just want to be accepted and we want you to listen to us, but you don't want to listen to the other fucking side. I'm sorry, not everybody agrees with you and not everybody wants to participate in that bullshit, including myself. And it has nothing to do with anything other than I think that shit's dumb. I don't participate in groupthink, number one. And number two, I don't need to fucking show my support by wearing some goddamn fucking rainbow or whatever. You people are fucking ridiculous. And the fact that this has been growing because five nobody players too, it's not even like mainstream players you would even know who didn't wear it. But it's just so ridiculous that it's become a fucking hysterical thing. And it's like, dude, you guys are making a big deal out of nothing. Why don't you go fucking complain to the people in the Ukraine right now getting bombs dropped on them, you fucking stupid, self-righteous Americans and your fucking crybaby bullshit. So that's number one retarded hysteria of the day. Number two is even more stupid, in my opinion. So this weekend, the college baseball national championship bracket started, and the first round started, and there was a matchup between Tennessee and Campbell. And one of the players on Campbell was being interviewed. You know, they always do interviews in the middle of games, blah, blah, blah. And in the background, while he was being interviewed, there was a Marlboro cigarette box. Dun, dun, dun. Literally, there were fucking headlines over this. In the background, there was a Marlboro cigarette box. Nobody knew why it was there, but they had questions. Now, of course, I do have to let you all know, cigarettes and tobacco products are banned from dugouts and all that kind of shit because we live in a stupid, retarded society who gets upset over smokers. By the way, I don't smoke cigarettes. I've actually never smoked, I've never been a smoker. I've smoked cigarettes, but like a couple times in my life. They were never like an addiction for me or something I regularly participated in. But if you want to do it, you have all the fucking right to, because I'm not a fucking self-righteous piece of shit who thinks everybody needs to do like I do. So I don't have this stigma against tobacco and Marlboro and cigarettes. When I saw this headline, I was like, is this a real headline? And I actually had to go read the article and I was like, oh my God, they literally are upset because there's a Marlboro cigarette box behind the player. And now here's what's even more stupid, people, because I said to myself, why would that be there? Because that was the main question. And I'm like, well, they're not smoking during the game. I bet you this is some dumbass, stupid stition type of thing. And guess what, everybody? That's what it turned out to be. They played a game, and a game that they won, they found this Marlboro cigarette box at the stadium, and they said, this is like our lucky charm. And that is why the dreaded Marlboro cigarette box was behind Campbell when the player was being interviewed. The dreaded Marlboro cigarette box. Oh my God. Like, really? This is the fucking goddamn shit I fucking see, and it drives me absolutely nuts. By the way, it didn't do them much good because they got their asses kicked by Tennessee. So much for that dumbass stupid station. But Jesus fucking Christ, when I fucking saw that, I wanted to punch whoever wrote these articles. Please line up so I can fucking punch each one of you in the goddamn balls. Or vagina, whatever the fuck you have. But Jesus fucking Christ, those are two stories that make you, this world is just so fucking ridiculous. And so those are the two stories from the retarded hysteria of the day. And this might become like a regular segment that I call it, if I remember it. But I mean, like I said, I've been making fun of all this shit since the start of the podcast, but now it has an official title. All right, so since I was just talking about college baseball, we do have some college baseball updates. Some teams have moved on to the Super Regional Finals, but we're still working our way through the first round. So these are the teams that have made it through so far onto the Super Regionals. The first matchup is going to be The Super Regional start on Friday, by the way. So these matchups won't be until this next weekend. But the first matchup is going to be Tennessee versus Notre Dame. So no shock there with Tennessee. But then the next bracket with the winner onto the Super Regionals, the motherfucking Texas Longhorns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker. They blazed their way through this weekend, did not lose a game, absolutely obliterated everybody in their way. UCLA also had a good weekend as well. They're still playing in their first round, but man, they played a great game against Florida State last night that I was watching too. But hook 'em horns, motherfucker. They have moved on to the Super Regionals. Texas A&M has also moved on, and then Virginia Tech has also moved on. So those are the current teams that have moved on to the Super Regionals, and we'll see where we're at come Friday. And then a couple things in the NFL. Actually, right before I started recording the episode, Aaron Donald, defensive tackle for the Los Angeles Rams, signed a huge contract extension. He's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback position in the NFL right now. So congratulations to you, Aaron Donald. That is well deserving. It's a $95 million contract extension with, here's what matters the most, $65 million guaranteed money. He's going to be getting paid, I believe, $30 million this year and then $30 million next year. Those are the two guaranteed at the beginning. So well-deserved. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. And, I mean, I'm not shocked that this deal got done. It was basically something they've been talking about since basically the season ended, but I knew it was going to happen. I mean, nobody's going to be letting Aaron Donald go. That would be stupid. So congratulations to you. Now, something hilarious happened on Friday, just right after I was recording the podcast. Now, I basically ended the show on Friday laughing at how horribly bad this Deshaun Watson case is going. The further it goes on, it just gets worse and worse and worse for this dude, which is hilarious in my opinion, because like I said, I believe that he did what he's accused of. To reiterate, I don't believe he belonged in criminally charged because he didn't rape anybody, at least so far from what we see of accusations. He did just make people feel uncomfortable, but you do deserve to pay for that because these are actual massage therapists who have a job to do. And that job isn't to fucking suck your goddamn dick, you fucking motherfucker. But anyway, so it's been really amusing to me just to see how just worse it gets for this dude. Just because that's actually usually what happens anyways. That's usually why you pay people off so quick. But right after I signed off, this beautiful gem from his dumb fucking ass lawyer, Rusty Hardin, he had this great quote from an interview, and it just made my jaw drop. Because number one, I've mentioned before, one of the reasons why I love the legal aspects of some of these cases is I work for a lawyer. I don't work in criminal law. I work for a workers' comp attorney. We represent insurance carriers on workers' comp claims. But it's very interesting. I love working in law. And one of the things I love most about working in law is catching a liar. And it's so easy. You don't have to actually, like, hear them lie. I'm the paralegal, so it's not like I'm interviewing people, I'm not doing depositions, I'm not doing any, I'm doing all the background shit. But believe me, I'm as involved as the lawyer. And so one of the things I love is just catching a liar. And it's easy for me because like when you're reading somebody's depositions or when you're reading how it goes in a hearing or even when you're reading medical records, because that's the evidence that we get. It's just beautiful to me when I find a liar. It like literally warms the cockles of my heart when I fucking find a liar. And it's really easy to do, especially for me, just because I've been doing it for 8 years now. And It is a talent. I'm not tooting my own horn. It is a talent. And I love finding a liar, especially with their own words. And Rusty Harden just walked into a huge pile of shit this Friday. And by the way, Rusty Harden, he's been around for a long ass time. This dude's represented some huge motherfuckers. He represented Roger Clemens back in the steroid times when he was getting sued for some bullshit. I can't remember what happened exactly with Roger Clemens, but I know he represented him at one point. And he's just a well-known dude around Houston. So this guy he's not this stupid, but Jesus Christ, this was stupid when I read this quote. Like, my jaw was so agape because I just could not believe that his lawyer actually said this out loud, because the opposing counsel is going to be able to just take this quote and, I mean, just to put it easily for you lay people, is he just fucked his client. If I'm Deshaun Watson, you might want to just get a new lawyer, because this guy really fucked you over. I'll get into it a little bit more, but let's just get into the quote, because the quote was just, it was a beautiful gem that made me laugh, and I just could not believe that he said that. But he was, Rusty Harden was on a, it's kind of funny, his name is Rusty Harden too. That totally sounds like a porn star name or like a sex move. I'm going to give you the Rusty Harden now, you know? So that's even more amusing that his name is Rusty Harden. But here's his quote. He was on a radio show earlier this week, I believe it was on Friday. And this is what he said. And this is the full quote. I made sure I wanted to get this full quote for you. I don't know how many men out there now that have had a massage that perhaps occasionally there was a happy ending. I want to point out, if it has happened, it's not a crime, okay? Unless you are paying somebody extra or so to give you some type of sexual activity, it's not a crime. Doing something or saying something or being a way that makes you uncomfortable is not a crime. That's a beautiful quote by Rusty Harden. So, first of all, he literally contradicts himself in a matter of, what is this, four sentences here? Because first of all, the whole thing since this happened is that he has said there's been sexual encounters that were consensual, okay? Well, basically, this quote, it contradicts that, because he's saying that basically he got happy endings, and that because he made people feel uncomfortable, it's not a crime. Which, by the way, I did start that this rant out by saying I don't believe he deserved to be behind bars for making women uncomfortable, which he definitely did. But you basically just contradicted yourself from your first initial encounters, from the first initial statements that he made on this case. But I'd also like to point out that all these encounters with Deshaun Watson, he paid for them. There's actual, he did these on, like, cash apps and stuff. So there's that evidence out there. So he's basically saying that his client paid for prostitutes is what he's saying. But he's also saying that if you're a massage therapist, that you should just expect that people want happy endings, because you're a massage therapist. What the fuck else are you there for? To fucking give goddamn Deshaun Watson, the almighty dick dangler, you're there to give him a happy ending. Hello. Which is just amusing, because I know there are massage parlors, and I know that's a thing, but you know what's also a thing? Being an actual massage therapist. As a matter of fact, I haven't done research on this, but I'd put money down that there's more real, legitimate massage therapists than there are these handy J massage therapists. So, there's a whole job for this, and so it's he's basically saying that if you are a massage therapist, that if you're asked for a happy ending, or if somebody starts ejaculating all over you, well, that's what you get for being a massage therapist. So, way to go, Rusty Harden. You really fucked this case. I think what he mostly did is he made it real easy for the NFL. If they want to suspend him for the whole year, they might just do that. Because one thing that the NFL does not like is they don't like bad headlines. You know, That doesn't mean that they want all their guys to be straight-laced. They know all their dudes aren't straight-laced. Hell, I know all their dudes aren't straight-laced. There are always sketchy people in every avenue of life. The thing is they don't want this shit to turn into headlines, and they definitely don't want it to drag on as long as this has dragged on with Deshaun Watson. So, wow. That was that quote, those three lines there, man. Basically, Rusty Harden just, fucked his own case by opening his big, dumb fucking mouth. And I'm really shocked by that because he is not a spring. He didn't just start this shit. He's been around for a long ass time. So it's crazy he was goaded into it. But that's what happens when you let this shit drag out that long. You usually fuck up at some point. And it's usually not the lawyer who fucks up at some point. But man, way to go, Rusty Harden. That was that was fun. All right, and so now let's end today's show with a top five list. One thing I did notice during these NBA finals is there's a lot of father-son duos in this NBA finals. Now, they're only on the Golden State Warriors, but, you know, Steph Curry, he's a current NBA player, and his dad, Del Curry, used to play in the league. Then you have Klay Thompson, who plays for the Golden State Warriors, and his dad, Michael Thompson, used to be a great NBA player. And then you also have Gary Payton Jr., whose father, of course, is the one and only Gary Payton, the Glove. And so with that, that made me think of who are other NBA father-son duos in the league. And there was actually enough to do a top five, so I'm going to go ahead and do the top five NBA father-son duos. Starting off with number five, Rick Barry, the father, with his three sons who were NBA players, Brent Barry, John Barry, and Drew Barry. Now, really, only Brent had a successful NBA career. One thing you will notice with this list is that I think, there's two sets on here where they had good careers, both the father and the son, or sons, had good careers. But you'll see that for the most part, either the father had a great career and the son didn't, or vice versa. So in this instance, Rick Barry had an amazing NBA career. He's actually a legend. He's one of the greatest players of all time. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's a 12-time All-Star. He's won an NBA championship. He's been the Finals MVP, and he actually he won Finals with the Golden State Warriors, of course. Now that I say that, what is there? There's on my list, I have three Golden State Warriors on here. So that's kind of funny. I guess they like the father-son duos. So Rick Barry, he was definitely the most successful of between him and his sons. Like I said, John and Drew, they had the little, very, very small NBA careers. But Brent Barry actually had a very solid career. He wasn't great. He was solid, especially when he went to the San Antonio Spurs. He won a championship in 05 and 07 with the Spurs. And he was more of a like bench role player. And not to say that he was terrible, but he was not as great as his father. And actually, one of the things Rick Barry is known for is shooting free throws underhanded. All right, and then so number four on my top five NBA father-son duos, Joe and Kobe Bryant. I had to put Kobe on here, you know that. Between the two of them, obviously, Kobe is literally one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and he really does put his dad, good old Joe Jelly Bean, to shame, because Joe, he wasn't a bad basketball player, but he was more of a journeyman, where we all know Kobe is legendary. He's got the five rings and the endless amounts of career accolades to name off. I think I've named off enough Kobe Bryant accolades, and I'm sure I'll name off more, but we don't really need to do that in this one. But his father didn't have a bad NBA career, and hey, man, if it wasn't for his father playing NBA, who knows? We may not have Kobe Bryant in the NBA. Then at number three on my top five NBA father-son duos, Bill and Luke Walton. So Bill Walton, he played for the Portland Trail Blazers and the Boston Celtics. He also had a stellar career in college. When he played for UCLA, he was a two-time champ. for UCLA. He was the first overall pick in the draft for the Portland Trail Blazers. He ended up winning an MVP when he was with the Trail Blazers. He ended up winning a championship with the Trail Blazers. Then when he moved on to Boston, he was more of a sixth man, which he did end up winning the Sixth Man of the Year award while in Boston, but he also won a championship in Boston as well. So he's a two-time champ and Hall of Famer, one of the greatest basketball players of all time in college and pros. Then also Luke, well, I wouldn't say he was half the basketball player his father was. I think Luke was more lucky that he got to play with Kobe and be on that Lakers team. And not to say that he was a bad basketball player. He was actually a very solid basketball player. But you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, Luke Walton, he was killing it back in the day. Nah, we were winning because of Kobe and Jack. And actually, the years we won with him were in 09 and 10. So those were actually the Powell, Odom, Artest, Kobe years. So, I mean, he was a great role player during those years, but he was definitely not on the level of his father. But they are number three. Then number two on my top five NBA father-son duos, that would be Dell, Steph, and Seth Curry. Now, Dell Curry, he's the father, and then you got Steph and Seth. Dell Curry, he was more of an NBA journeyman as well. Seth has also been kind of a journeyman. They all have great three-point shots, but ain't none of them touching Steph. We all see that Steph is the breadwinner between the three of them. I feel like if they're playing some one-on-one with each other, Steph's going to take all of them all the time. Although they probably play a lot of horse because they kind of seem like they're all about the shots, especially the three-pointers, and they probably do all these crazy shots against each other. They may change it from horse to Curry instead. I mean, all three of them, great NBA careers, but obviously Steph is killing it. He's got the three championships, may get number four, and he's Hall of Fame player already and hasn't even been inducted, so hasn't even finished his career yet. So obviously he's the number one of those three, but they all three have had solid and good NBA careers. And then number one on my top five NBA father-son duos. I don't think a lot of people would put them at number one, but I'm going to tell you why. I got Michael and Klay Thompson at number one. And the reason why is because both of them have achieved great things throughout their NBA career. Michael Thompson was the number overall pick for Portland Trail Blazers after they moved on from Bill Walton, as a matter of fact. And he did kind of meander his way around the league after he kind of faded away in Portland. But then he came back and signed with the Showtime Lakers and actually kind of had a resurgence there where he was coming off of the bench and he was a huge, huge role player and big reason as to why they won those championships there. And he actually won a couple championships in 1987 and 1988 with the Lakers. And then Klay Thompson. He basically came out of nowhere. Nobody really expected him to be that great. And he's one of the best three-point shooters the league has ever seen. He's a three-time champ. He's been the focal point of the Golden State Warriors even before they were winning championships. He and Steph Curry, they've been called the Splash Brothers way before they ever won anything. So you got to give it up to Klay Thompson and Michael Thompson. Both have had great NBA careers. And, I mean, when I'm comparing them, like I said, to everybody else, for the most part, other than Bill and Luke Walton, they had pretty similar NBA careers, but still, when you really look at it, Michael and Klay, I think combined, make the better duo than Bill and Luke. And then when it came to the Currys, you know, Steph and his dominance really put them above the Waltons for me. And then the owner, you all know, I would love to put Kobe number one because Kobe's number one for me. But, you know, his dad didn't have that amazing of an NBA career, whereas Kobe had like the complete opposite amazing Hall of Fame career, legendary career. It was very lopsided for the most part. And when I looked at Michael and Klay Thompson, their career resume is pretty solid and pretty equal compared to the rest of them. So that's my top five NBA father-son duos. Like I said, we've got game three Wednesday night, so we'll see where we're at on Friday. We've got baseball going on all week. And yeah, so enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Friday.